Can we honor our needs and honor somebody else's needs at the same time? Can we hold on to ourselves and source that internal security, internal authority, without needing to orient around the external world or control the external world for ourselves to feel safe?
And I think one thing that often people believe is that codependency is about one person doing the outsourcing of their safety and having the codependent behaviors, but there's someone in the dance with you who likely is feeling like they can't operate on their own. They're the mess up. They're the problem.
And this is just shame, right?
Yeah.
This is the shame that fuels the dynamic and keeps us both stuck
in
the codependent cycle, in the codependent dance.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mark Groves Podcast. Today is very special. My wife. This is the first time you're on the podcast as my wife.
That's correct.
Right?
Because, yes. That's funny.
Oh my gosh. That's funny. So Kylie, welcome back.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Kai hasn't been on the podcast since right before we had Jasper.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we got married actually shortly after that podcast. At the base.
Right. And actually on that podcast, you're like, something about like not needing to be married. Like something about like needing to make me an honest woman or something.
Oh yeah. I made a joke about it. And then we made her an honest woman.
Here we are.
Yeah. We like to joke about that. Yeah. We were in Sedona. I had a retreat there. And then we were like, we should get married in Sedona. We love Sedona. Mm-hmm. And so one of Kylie's good friends, one of my good friends too, who, lives in Sedona. She's been on the podcast twice, Anahata. We're like, hey, are you licensed to marry people in Arizona? Yeah. We called our best friends in Scottsdale. They drove because we needed two witnesses. And we got married at the base of Thunder Mountain.
Yeah, in a medicine wheel. It was really, 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 really beautiful.
Yeah, and you know, people go to that area to go to this medicine wheel, but we had hijacked it. We were getting married in the middle of it, standing in the center of this medicine wheel. But you know how people love, like, right? It's just true. People mm-hmm. do. And so when you get to witness a ceremony, especially with the blessing of like a pregnant woman, right? Like, I think that's also, it's either like
a shotgun.
Yeah. It's either like,
mm-hmm.
it either looks like you're like, shameful Christian bride,
totally.
You know, or you're
although just, we weren't a medicine wheel, so
what do you mean?
Like shameful Christian bride. I'm not sure that would stack.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, wouldn't stack. We weren't in the right venue for that.
Right, exactly.
But people were walking by and they're kind of like wanting to go to the medicine wheel, but then seeing we're getting married in the middle of it, and they would just We didn't invite anyone to the wedding except for random hikers, apparently.
Our parents were stoked.
Yeah, we sent pictures to our parents after. My mom and dad are like, what? You just got married? Yep. This is how we do things over here. So I'm excited to have you back on.
Excited to be here, baby.
Wifey. Yep. Do you think it felt different to be a wife than to be a partner?
You know what's funny? Like initially when you first started calling me that, I think I felt it, but now I'm like, I don't feel anything. Like, I'm like, yeah, of course. Like it just kind of rolls, like it lands so,
yeah,
so good. You know what I mean? Whereas before I was like, oh yeah, that's a thing that happened. I think it because we got married like right before giving birth or right before Jasper came into the world. It kind of just felt like, whoa, that's a lot of big shifts in a short amount of time. So it just, you know, takes some integration time to land into the beauty of all the new roles.
Yeah. You know, there's that quote that I love that I've shared. I'm sure I've shared it on the podcast before, but it's by Jordan Peterson. Save your opinions of Jordan Peterson. But the quote is great, which is commitment only works when you do it. Mm. And I really loved it because when I heard that, it was Aubrey Marcus who shared it with me. There was this recognition that like, what are we actually truly committed to? Like truly committed that we don't create gray, that there's not outs. Because, you know, we sign contracts with ourselves and then we're like, We have our own legal team that has created a small print section that no one reads, but we're the ones who wrote it for ourselves. So it's been really interesting to play with what does that mean to be committed when there is no other option. Yeah. Now, granted, obviously everyone has other options. Right. Like you can cognitively understand that there are plenty of choices in the world.
Yeah.
And take that away.
Yeah. And I think, you know, to kind of elaborate on that piece here is like when you're in a liberated, loving relationship, marriage, you know, really just becomes another step to explore sacred union, right? Like there are reasons we did a marriage certificate, you know, outside of just wanting to get married, you know, but it was a deepening of that commitment on every single level. And I felt like our souls were like, yeah, let's have a sacred union ceremony. Let's get really clear about what our commitment is, what our vision is, and what we're saying yes to.
Yeah.
Like you said, get rid of the gray and like go all in. And I really believe that Jasper, our son, was calling that in too. He was like, yo, you guys figure it out. No, just say I do.
You know, I gotta laugh too. Like there's a clip, I've shared it with you. It's funny, of Louis C.K. before he's married in one part of the clip and then he's divorced.
Oh yeah,
the
next one. It's a good one.
Yeah, and in it he says, getting married, he talks about like relationships aren't hard till you get married, but really till you have kids. And he's saying, because when you get married, you're like, ah, I can't leave now. But when you have a kid, you're like, I could have left.
And terrible.
It is. But the reason I bring that up is I conceptually didn't understand the commitment he was referencing in the humor. I found it funny.
Yeah.
Like, but I also was like, I didn't conceptually understand the like rooted nature of a child, like a shared child.
Yeah.
And what that means and like what we want to teach him.
Yeah. That is union, right? Forever.
Yeah. It is the alchemy of the literal creation of union.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it's been so beautiful to be able to play with commitment with you. Like and I don't mean like we're not like playing with what are we committed to, open, closed, but like playing with what is possible for me, what is possible for you, what is possible for our community, for Jasper, when there is the as best we can always lived desire and intention to really always be in that state of like treating you as sacred, treating me as sacred, treating the connection we have as sacred. That's I'm sure if I have any ex-girlfriends listening, they're like, now you treated all that sacred. Hey, great.
Thank you for preparing him.
Yeah. if you're listening and you'd like to come on and talk with me about it, we can.
Look forward to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'm just so excited that we get to talk together and share with you guys. You've been such a part of our journey. And if you've joined this podcast more recently, there's a whole journey where Kylie and I were together for 5 years.
Yeah, about.
And then we broke up. And there's some good podcasts on that. We broke up in around September of 2019. And so if you go back, there's one podcast episode specifically called Adulting is Hard, where it should have a censor warning just for the sobs that I have in it. But I shared a lot of my journey and our breakup out loud with Kai's consent and just what I was processing. And we did a closing ceremony. And so that podcast episode is about our closing ceremony on how we closed the previous container of our relationship. And then, I mean, spoiler alert, we got back together. And in that time, it was 9 months that we were apart. We were not. The intention was not to get back together. That was not the thought. But the work we did both in the relationship together 1.0 and then the pause, we call it now the sacred pause, which is the term that is aptly applied to the space when you get back together, you get to call it a sacred pause. And then relationship 2.0.
Sacred pause, aka do your damn work.
Yeah.
Make it sacred. Make the pain of the rupture of the breakup worth it, you know?
If we're navigating a breakup or still trying to let go of some feelings for an ex, Valentine's Day can definitely bring up a lot of feelings. In this episode, you're hearing Kylie and I talk about our sacred pause and what that was like for us. And ultimately, what we did was reflect on our heartbreak with intention. When you do that, when you actually reflect on your breakup with such deep intention, you can shift your energy to a different state. You can create healing. You actually take charge of your healing. So if you're going through heartbreak right now, I want to share a powerful resource. My favorite meditation and breathwork app, Open, is currently offering a special heart and heartbreak series, especially for those of you who are having all the feels right now. This series of meditations and breathwork exercises include Embody Love, Unbreak My Heart, Attached, and Loneliness and Solitude. And they're all thoughtfully designed to help you navigate love, loss, and all the matters of the heart. So let yourself be supported by soothing words and guided breaths so you can mindfully navigate your feelings and be more present with yourself and your healing. Jump into this Heart and Heartbreak series and get 30 days free by visiting withopen.com/createthelove. Again, that's 30 days free by visiting withopen.com/createthelove. So often we get asked, how did you get back together? What was it like, the space between? Did you have boundaries about contact? And, you know, all that's in, we have a new book coming out called Liberated Love. And all of that is in there. And the question often is, when we get that question, the intention is, how do I get that person back? Which I understand. I don't want to like mow over the positive, beautiful desire to get back together with someone, especially in the real intensity of the longing. However, I think that the idea, how do we get back together, is actually the wrong idea, because the idea is, in some way, you're going, even the word back means you're going backwards. And I think when you are truly doing your work, healing, and really living intentionally through heartbreak, but even in dating, if you're so deeply ingrained in your intention, there will come a point where you actually won't care who is the person you meet in the future. You won't be concerned if it's your ex. Because the person, if it is your ex, they're meeting you moving forward. They're meeting you on the path of your growth because they're on their path. And I think so often we get back together with people and we have to actually go back to who we were, and we have to go back to old patterns, and we have to turn down our volume again. We have to get small again. And I think we could feel that in our bodies. And
oh, I can attest. Yeah. Certainly feel it in your body.
Who are you referencing?
No, I'm just saying, like, I
you like, know, wait, like, is this how you tell me?
You know, when the old patterns show up, even, you know, in a new dynamic, of course, there's layers that still need to be processed and healed through romantic relationship. You can't do it all solo.
Of course. Yeah.
Right. So it's like those feelings, felt sensations of becoming small again or silencing will still present even in a new dynamic. And that's the opportunity to name it, to identify it, to bring it forward out and open and choose a different way. Right.
Yeah. That commitment to fierce love, that right. commitment to like, I will not be who I was in these previous iterations, which the previous iterations are actually the learnings, the school, the education to actually learn how to show up differently.
Yeah. And they're all so beautiful and wise.
And they really are, if we let them be.
If we let them be. Yes. Yeah.
And that, I know, can cause a lot of reactivity, you know, when we sort of express like, hey, every relationship you've been in, every life circumstance you've had is teaching you. And the response often to that is, well, that's victim blaming or that's minimizing abuse. There is no, like, listen, you can be the victim of very extreme circumstances. But we still have to do something with the material that happened. We can't change our past. We can't go, that would be great if we could, but we can't. And so in order to honor the experiences we've been through, the toughest ones especially, we have to integrate the lessons that are available. And there are lessons in those really tough things. And I think it's important that we hold compassion, but also this level of accountability and responsibility for just our own side of the street.
Right. And I think, you know, there's an energetic around the difference between being a victim of something and still being in the victimized energy of like helpless. And listen, that's a very real state energetically and also emotionally, somatically, that we have to navigate as we come back into our own center, as we begin to access our anger or our boundaries of where we didn't have choice to say no, to say stop, to say enough. You know, because as early children, when we're experiencing abuse, whether it be emotional, physical, et cetera, sexual, we minimize what we need to in order to preserve our you know, to survive.
Yeah.
And so, that's a really tender journey. And so I don't want to minimize obviously that journey, but it's also such a liberating one to be like, okay, yes, that happened. And I want to heal. I want to move through. I want to regain access to my choice, to my anger, so that I can protect the little one inside and move forward and open my heart in new relational dynamics. Mm. Right. Cause that's ultimately what the inner child, but all of us really want.
Yeah.
We want to be seen. We want to be heard. We want to belong. We want to know that we are safe to be all of who we are. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of us didn't receive the early environments that allowed us to stay open.
Yeah.
To stay connected to ourselves and then to others and to the planet, to everything, to life. And so, yeah. How sweet and tender it is to actually return and to resensitize what we've had to desensitize. And there's a lot of work to be done in that arena for many of us. And, you know, if you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, hands up, that's me. You know, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for doing your work. It's courageous work to say, you know what, I'm going to choose life. I'm going to choose love again after being so open as a young tot.
a young little chap,
to be like, you know what?
I'm ready
to choose love again. I'm ready to release the armor. I'm ready to step out of these dynamics that are keeping me, yes, protected, but also small, suppressed, lonely, anxious, etc.
Yeah, stepping in that integrated, embodied self, adult in relationship. For you guys listening or watching, so here's our new book. If you're listening, I'm holding it up and it's beautiful. Liberated Love, Release Codependent Patterns and Create the Love You Desire. The book is available for pre-order, which if you look at the show notes, you can just click there or you can go to liberated-love.com. I wanted to share an excerpt of the first part of the introduction. And then chat about it a little bit. We're trying to keep love alive using old world relationship skills for new world relationship demands. Cue the appropriate quote attributed to Albert Einstein. The definition of insanity is doing the same things over and over and expecting different results. We're individually and collectively standing at a threshold where we must make a choice. Stay in our current relationships just the way they are, or mature out of outdated survival patterns, process old emotional debris, and step into a more meaningful, authentic, and life-nourishing path. For us, Mark and Kylie, two relationship experts who also happen to be very much in love with each other, we now know the possibility that love can offer when we're willing to actively choose our relationships and the lessons that emerge within them with curiosity, grace, and humility. Love, when entered into by willing adults committed to transforming themselves, can be the ultimate space of healing and growth. From that place, we are no longer existing in relationships that feel like we are imprisoned and have to stay forever to make them work, but rather we are both choosing to be in a relationship that liberates ourselves from previous patterns and habits that prevented us from creating the type of love, life, family, and partnership we have always desired. A relationship that centers each other's souls, not fears. That's a good one. We call it Liberated Love, and we're excited to walk you through how to cultivate it for yourself and with others. I'm really proud of this book, I got to tell you. Every time I read it, I'm just reminded of what we can create together.
Mm, you're going to make me emotional.
Good.
I mean, it's just such a, right? It's such an embodied journey, you know, like for us both, like the work is on this page, on these pages, the written word, but we walked it, you know, we've walked many through it. And it's like every single time it's like, whew, yeah, this is the work. This is the deep work to peel back those layers, to choose love over and over and over and over, especially when it's hard, especially when we don't want to, especially when we want to hide, especially when we want to retreat into those, you know, coping strategies or survival strategies that really feel comfortable and familiar,
right?
You know, so it's like, ah, you know, it's such an exhale now. It's like, whew, we made it through that. You know, it's a long journey, but we made it on the other side. I remember like many times in it, like, will this end? Will there be a moment where we're not in the dynamic? We're not in the dance. Like, is there a new way? And that's kind of like what I didn't know in the relationship 1.0 that I know now. It's like my nervous system, I had no idea that there was a new way.
I know.
Because I didn't know there was a new way. I was like, oh, well, this is just the way. This is normal. This is familiar. This is how relationships are. And it's like, no, no, no. Like, they don't have to stay that way. There is another path available to us. So what a gift it is to find one of those paths, to walk it, and then to be able to share it, you know?
Yeah, I was speaking about this, the book yesterday with someone, and I was saying, you know, this book in essence is the book we needed, you know, as we navigated our rupture or the ending of relationship 1.0. We were in search of trying to figure out how do you end old patterns that, I mean, we're talking like we're relationship nerds. Like, we're deep in the science of it, the skill sets. And we're like, wow, you know, like this relationship must have to end now, because like we've tried to do everything we could and it did need to. And it was actually through that acceptance, that surrender to an actual path that was trying to make its way through us that we were both so resistant to, because we really loved each other and we loved each other. Yeah. And sometimes we conflate loving someone with holding on to them, mm-hmm. not allowing them to go, not allowing ourselves to go. And, you know, I just learned so much through that ability to trust a deeper path.
I often, you know, think about relationship 1.0, and it's like our initial meeting and what we were working through, like, felt like there's parts of me that's like, oh, that there were still young parts running the dynamic in the show.
Right? Yeah.
Like younger parts. Yeah. But it's like through our journey, the adult started to get so much stronger. You know, through relationship 1.0, the inner adult was like, okay, we're gaining enough internal foundation, both of us, or enough internal security, internal worth, that we can no longer stay hooked in from this place, from this original meeting place, from this original energetic blueprint in which we initially met. And it was like that initial energetic blueprint of you being the giver, of you being the caretaker of me and my needs, like, and me being the taker, or the quote unquote broken one, right? Because that was kind of our dynamic. Like, I needed to be fixed. You were my savior. You gained validation and belonging, and
you got to hold on to the identity that you couldn't make things work.
Right.
That
there was something wrong with me.
So there was this deep level of reverence for Kylie's, which you're going to read more about in the book. Which this is all such the surface of like a very powerful, deep journey, which is, you know, that recognition that Kai's call to leave the relationship was actually wise.
Mm.
That it wasn't a problem that we needed to psychotherapize or whatever insert modality, breath work,
right?
Cold plunge your way out. It was like,
it was the somatic canary in the coal mine, right?
Yeah. Which I love when, and that's such a great,
because it was like the body is like, yo.
Yeah.
Like something needs to shift.
It was sensing these codependent patterns that were deep, deep, deep. And I would say because this is the first book to come out on codependency since Melody Beattie's, very powerful, amazing book that is really correlated to relationship with addiction, mm-hmm. to people with addictions. And so this was like really identifying these very subtle ways that our bodies are telling us that the healing is in the nervous system, not just changing your skill set.
Right.
But like you have to get to the root. And I was going to say that when you were saying like the adults kept getting stronger and stronger, I found like in hindsight, which I think is true of us today, is that we were playing leapfrog a bit in that like one would adult a little more and then be like, hey, little kid in you, that way of relating is not going to work here.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was this loving
invitation.
Well, and I think because that this is this new way in that the frictions of your relationship are actually offering you this opportunity to heal things that likely didn't originate in your relationship, although some of them may have.
Yeah.
But this opportunity to heal sometimes generations of things. Like I always think what a gift that is, that the relationship offers you this sacred path to do that it is brought forward, whether that's to be with the person or not. It's that the pattern is brought forward. I think when we see that as sacred work, which is not minimizing the impact of whatever said pattern is, but saying like, wow, if we can really orient to it from a sacred place, then we're like, well, a lot of people, the givers, the fixers, treat their partner as sacred. Their partner is the most sacred thing in the world, but they forget about themselves.
Yeah.
So if choosing your partner is not simultaneous with choosing yourself, then it's not a choice. If treating your partner as sacred is not at the same moment treating yourself as sacred. So everything has to be sacred.
Mm. Yeah, this like a reprioritization of first and foremost, our own well-being. You know, our definition of codependency is, in the book, is when you, like, codependency is when you source safety or security, or, you know, even the deeper level, regulation, outside of yourself from someone or something at the expense of your needs, your well-being, and your soul. Like, in key words being at the expense of, right? Because everyone's like, well, like, I have needs and I need to get them met from other people. It's like, no, I'm not saying that your needs can't be met by other people, that you can't go resource, of course. Like, we need a village of people around us to support us and to lean on when we need to be leaning on somebody. But again, it's like, can we honor our needs and honor somebody else's needs at the same time? Can we hold on to ourselves and source that internal security, internal authority, without needing to orient around the external world or control the external world for ourselves to feel safe, right? Yeah. And that's such a young imprint.
Really,
we learn that at such a young age. It's like, okay, in order to be safe, I need to make sure I de-escalate this situation with mom. I support dad so that he doesn't get unhappy, like whatever it is, or maybe control the sibling so that it doesn't set off a caretaker or somebody.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's exhausting over time, right? That initial imprint of having to leave your own center to manage the external environment to source a sense of safety.
Yeah.
And it's like, over time, it's like, while that worked when we were young, it's like, it's no longer working right now. Like we've reached that threshold.
Yeah.
Where it's like, our nervous system is tired, our soul is tired. And it's like, okay, it's time to source safety in a new way, you know? And a lot of that, at least in my experience in working with clients, is coming back to your own center, coming back into your own body, working with your nervous system to increase your capacity to hold frictions, to hold discomfort, relational discomfort, to hold anxiety, to hold activation, so that we can be with all of that without having to leave ourselves, right? So it's like, I can hold this so that I can... I can hold it so I can stay here and be with you.
Yeah.
Instead of needing to leave myself to be able to stay here. Right.
Yeah. And I think so often, I mean, we share a lot of client stories, which names are changed, obviously, but we share a lot of those in the book of these different experiences, these like subtle ways mm-hmm. that these things happen, and not so subtle sometimes. And I think one thing that often people believe is that codependency is about one person doing the outsourcing of their safety and having the codependent behaviors. But there's someone in the dance with you who likely is feeling like they can't operate on their own. They're the mess up. They're the problem. They, you know, they might have addiction issues, but they can just have this subtle thing of like, I can't get it right.
Mm-hmm.
And I need you to keep telling me that I can't get it right. I need you. These are like the very subtle ways.
And this is just shame, right?
Yeah.
This is the shame that fuels the dynamic and keeps us both stuck
in
the codependent cycle, in the codependent dance. And so I think what's beautiful about our definition, but also the work we're doing in this book, is we remove shame from the conversation.
Right.
Like, this is not to be shamed. This is not to...
Nothing to be shamed.
To beat yourself up with.
Right.
It's like, this was a very loving response that you learned at a very young age in order to cope and survive in your environment. And that's beautiful. And that's wise. And it's time to shift it. It's time for intimacy to enter back into our lives in a new way, in an integrated way.
Yeah. And so this book is for whether you're single or in a relationship, because it's really about how do you heal the things that you need to heal, learn your relationship blueprint, the things you learned as mm-hmm. kids. And then how do you create a relationship, whether you're in one right now or as you're exploring relationship, that actually fully honors the self? They're like, you know, I think often about how we believe in games in relationship, or we talk about power dynamics in relationship, when we believe that someone becoming more powerful somehow makes us less powerful. That power itself is a finite resource that needs to be negotiated and exploited, or made sure that we're not too powerless, or whatever the term is. But your partner coming fully alive only makes you better. Your partner stepping fully into their dreams just makes everything better for you. You stepping fully into yours is in service of the relationship. And I think I certainly did this, you know, you like get out of a relationship and then you're like, I'm going to do a whole bunch of things I've always wanted to do. And I remember when I first started looking at my relationship patterns, oh, so long ago, and thinking like, that's so dumb. Like, why don't we just do what we want to do? Like, bring our dreams alive in the relationship. Because I remember meeting someone who was like, oh yeah, I finally went back to school and I did a thing. I went and traveled Europe. And I was like, how would you do that stuff with your partner or without? But like, and I thought like, this is such a strange template we've inherited.
Mm-hmm.
Like where you, oh wait, you don't find your voice in your relationship. You lose your voice in your relationship. Oh, you don't get to establish a self needs and wants. You actually eradicate those if you ever had them. And to me, that just was like such a mind fuck. But at the same time, I was also thinking like the other way, which is taking up space in relationship and ideally inviting your partner to take up space, because sometimes someone just takes up all the space, but where there's this mutual honoring of two souls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is, you know, I can just speak from the female experience of this,
yeah.
Like, you know, there was a lot in the nervous system, like the survival instructions encoded in my DNA, my relational DNA, if you will, was like, stay small, stay quiet, stay subservient, you know, like all of the narratives we've heard, but not only just that we've heard, we've embodied for our own survival.
Yeah. And
for many of us continue to, and it's like these invisible barriers that we don't even realize are there until there is a relational rupture. And it's like, woo. Or maybe, you know, you sign up, read a book, and you're like, oh, wow, there's all that invisible stuff that I didn't know was preventing me from taking up space from being in my body, from yeah. being in joy, from being, from honoring my no. Like for me, relationship 1.0, like when it ruptured, I had so much rage because I like that I'd never tapped into. And that was thanks to the work I was doing, the somatic therapy work that I was doing. It's like, I was frozen. My voice was frozen. My no was frozen. My body was frozen. How can you be in a liberated, loving relationship if your whole being is frozen?
Right.
You don't have access to anything.
And the next level of our relationship actually required you to have access to those things. Because even in the ending of our relationship, you had to access no.
Yeah.
Because Kai was like, you leave me. Like, you leave me. And I was like, no. Like, you need to have this conversation. We need to honor the wisdom that you have.
Yeah.
This needs to come from your lips.
Yeah, your being. And it felt like I was breaking like an intergenerational pattern by being able to access that no and to end something that I was and had been sourcing a lot of security and safety from.
Yeah.
And that was choosing myself.
Yeah. And that I trust this thing coming through me, this guidance. I can still be loved in choosing this guidance. Mm-hmm. And so we really embodied, although we on paper understood intellectually that love can continue when relationship containers change. By embodying that, I'd say that that really laid the framework, the foundation, one, for us to enter relationship anyways with someone potentially new and have that as a framework that we'd already done. Like, we were now walking that.
Yeah. I didn't die.
Right.
Exactly. But seriously, it was that level of like, oh, I ended a relationship. I said no. I accessed my rage. I took up space. I didn't die.
Yeah. And like, I love them.
Right.
It didn't make sense in my head.
Right.
I trust my soul.
Yeah.
They trust my soul. Because for me, a lot of that was like, I had to trust my path, which was, this is what I want to create. And if you can't do that, I love you. And I also had to trust your path, which was you couldn't.
Right. And that's still the beautiful gift of, I think, this new template is there's belonging even in rupture. There's belonging even in ending.
That's beautifully said.
You know?
We should put that in the book.
I don't think it's in the book, but
that specific line is not, but I don't think.
But here you are. So.
But here you are. Edits. But the message of that is in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's such a beautiful thing to experience that you coming fully alive actually is coincides with you being fully loved by the people around you. And what that does is it expands the capacity of the nervous system, the deeper unconscious, to fully love oneself.
Right. It models acceptance, like self-acceptance, of course, but also acceptance in the wider, because it's like we have a biological need to belong.
Yeah.
Like that is for real. Like we need to belong somewhere. Like we want to be connected. And so when truth gets in the way of connection or belonging, that's why we've minimized it. You know, that's why we've hid it away, stuffed it down, suppressed ourselves for so long. But when there's a new template or a new model where it's like, oh, actually your truth, your intuition, your fullness is welcome here. Is celebrated, is loved. Like, and I have so much gratitude for our community that we cultivated in relationship 1.0, because after that rupture, none of our friends went anywhere. Like, everybody stayed and loved us through it harder. Like, it was
cried.
It was the wildest. Like, it makes me emotional because I didn't experience that with previous ruptures, and I know you didn't, but like, to have friends be like, you're not bad. You're not, you know, like we're here, like we love you. And it's like, ooh.
Yeah. Like not a single person talking shit.
Yeah.
And we would have had no tolerance for that anyways, you know, because there was so much love for one another.
Yeah. It was really powerful, obviously.
I love you. It was an honor to write this book with you, to prepare. We had a book baby right before we wrote a book baby before we had a baby, which let us tell you that is good preparation. Because you have two different styles, two different minds, two different souls merging in the same unity as a child, you know? Mm-hmm. That's why it was actually really great training, the training we didn't know we needed.
Totally.
So for you listening, watching, Kylie and I are going to be having more conversations on the podcast about all these different subjects and just diving deeper into it, sharing what we've learned. And we'd be honored for you to get this book in your hands. It's available for pre-order. Again, the link is in the show notes, or you can go to liberated-love.com, or you can go to any of our websites, markgroves.com, createthelove.com, kyliemcbeth.com, and our Instagrams. Again, there's many places to find the link. And we can't wait for you to get it in your hands and really be part of this movement to create a new template. I already know you are. You listen to the podcast. It would be, yeah, we'd love for your eyes and souls to be able to go deeper on this journey with us.
Yeah. Thanks so much for walking the path alongside with, and looking forward to hearing your thoughts and what lands, and yeah, just to jam with the world again on this conversation as we continue to raise the bar of our relationships in every single area of our life, whether that's professional, personal, familial. Like, it's time to raise the bar, embody the bar, and hold the bar together so we can reawaken our hearts and come back to what matters most.
Amen. Love you all. Make sure you hit subscribe so you don't miss any future ones of this. Love. Cheers. You, babe.
Love you.